coming up next on the Davenport Podcast.
Mindfulness.
Mindfulness is really just that state of active, open attention to the present.
Where are you? Who are you? What are you feeling?
It's an ancient concept. When we're mindful, it reduces stress, anxiety, depression, and pain. I might be the only one who, I'm going to die.
More times than I want to admit. Yeah. That's the bottom of the bag. It's what, like, did I just eat? Yeah.
Mindfulness can give you a lot of power to accept what you're experiencing. It actually allows us to move through it.
Welcome to the Davenport. My name is Guy Below, and I'm a life coach, a business mentor, and an entrepreneur.
I'm Jamie Pyatt, a licensed clinical social worker. I love working with individuals, couples, and teens, and I'm also a certified Daring Way facilitator.
Join us as we sit down on the Davenport to share a little bit of coaching,
a little bit of therapy,
and a lot of entertainment.
We're so happy you're here.
Hello, everybody. This is Guy, and I'm here with Jamie, and we are on the Davenport.
Yes, we are.
Welcome back.
It's a chilly Davenport this morning.
A little chilly. Yeah. San Diego gets cold.
It does. This week has been really cold for us.
Yes.
Like, I walked the dog yesterday, and it was 37. I was wearing a beanie. I was wearing a beanie and a puffer vest over my running shirt. I was like, this is so cold.
Oh, Aaron's wearing full-on, yeah, puffy jacket with hood up in the house while making dinner.
Yeah. And I turned the heat on. Dave's like, the heat?
Yeah.
I'm like, yes, it is. And there's flannel sheets on all the beds.
I think every guy can relate. Like, did the heat just turn on? I think I just heard the furnace turn on. Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching.
Yeah. I know. I got an email from SDG&E yesterday, like, you're projected.
We noticed you turned your heat on.
Hey, thanks.
Right.
Thanks for the Christmas bonus.
Yeah. There is a funny challenge to try to not use it either way.
Well, in San Diego, we never run the AC. We never run the heat. And I think my sister-in-law and brother-in-law actually took their thermostat out of their house because they needed the space. And so they don't have heat. And they live like in Cardiff, right by the beach. So I'm sure they're freezing. Yeah. My sister-in-law drinks a lot of hot water. She's hot water. Like walking around with hot water. So it's pretty funny.
People make fun of us because we look like we're in a snowstorm and you're like, oh, it's 55.
I was wearing sweats and I changed into my jeans so I could wear my Uggs because my feet were so cold. But I was like, I can look schlumpy, but like when you wear sweats and Uggs, it's even like a new level of schlump. Well,
it's finals week, right? Is that where you're...
Oh, yeah. Let's not go there, right? Because today was the first day of winter break. So
congratulations, all you.
All the high school kids are out
schoolers,
today.
Schoolers, yeah.
And so my husband took her to the opening of Spider-Man last night.
Oh, very cool.
And he sends me a picture of her sobbing. She's sobbing. And Dave's all, this is a little too much for her.
Is it a sad movie?
Yeah, apparently there's a twist that really, really upset her. And so, and she's really...
I don't know if I've ever cried at a... Marvel comic movie.
Mackenzie cried when we walked onto the Marvel campus at California Adventure.
Wow.
She's really into Marvel.
All in.
I really need to take her on a cruise. Like the Disney cruise has a Marvel cruise and all the Marvel characters walk around and the dinner is like all, you know, it's all themed after Marvel. Yeah. I'm like, she would love it. So, but they're expensive. Yeah. So anyway, but
things you don't even know exist.
Yeah. But then this morning, I was so proud of her because she had such a good report card and everything. And then by the time I was leaving.
Welcome to Christmas vacation winter holiday break, whatever.
I probably should have made pancakes or something. But I said, I'm going to go record and then we're going to go to the airport and pick up my nephew and go to lunch and stuff. And she's like, so what am I doing while you're gone? And I was like, you're going to clean your bathroom because we have guests. And she was like, oh my gosh, I'm already bored. I did not practice mindfulness in that moment. I was like, did you just say you're bored? Right. And you've been awake for an hour.
Right.
I'm like, that's a good feeling for you to have.
Yeah.
You've been really busy.
Enjoy that.
Yeah. Be bored. You're good. And go clean your bathroom. So
my kids know to lay low if they don't have anything to do, because if they come and tell dad they don't have anything to do, it's chore list.
That's why she's cleaning the bathroom.
Were you looking
now.
For something to do? Hey, I got the dishwasher. Yeah. I need somebody to go get the mail. Those garbage cans need to be brought in. Hey, how about the backyard? Let's go clean up those toys in the backyard.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm good.
Actually, I'll stick with boredom.
They kind of just slowly disappear down the hallway. I know. Hey, don't talk to dad. He has a whole list.
Yeah. So that's where we were at this morning.
I have a funny little story. Nothing related. Mindfulness is our topic today. Yes. So we'll get into that. I learned something this morning. You can learn something every day.
Yep.
So we were working with my daughter last night on percentages for some math homework, last minute math homework, last day of the school year.
Yeah.
And Aaron is like, well, if you see of, it's multiply, and is equals.
Yeah.
I was like, what? She's like,
they didn't teach that in Washington.
Of is multiply. I was like, wait, every time you see of, you know to multiply? Like, you know this?
Yeah, it was taught. Like, they teach you a little trick. There's a saying, though. I have to remember. Anyway, they must not have done it in Washington.
Or I wasn't there that day. I don't know. Because I know how to do percentages, right? It's not that I'm like, percent. What? That's really hard. I don't know. I could do percentages, but I was like, wait. So there's a clue in the sentence. There's... That is so clever. I thought Aaron made it up. And I was like, you're so bright. That is so cool. And she's like, no, this is common knowledge.
Yeah.
Like, and is equals?
Yeah.
She's like, so you see something of times, and then is equals. Yeah. I was like, it blew my mind. Like, we were driving here, and she's like, she said it like three times. I was like, wait, stop.
And you're like, this is like fifth, sixth grade they're teaching this, right? Yeah. What was that show that was on? Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
Yeah. Nope. Apparently not.
I did see a funny meme the other day that said, we learn math solely so we can help our kids.
Yeah,
that's the only reason we need it. We're getting to that stage now where I'm no longer super beneficial in helping in math.
Well, this is when I said, okay, Aaron, it's all yours. Bye.
Yeah. Dave helps with math. I help with the grammar and writing and spelling. It's all good. We all have our strengths.
We do. So as I mentioned today, our topic is mindfulness.
Yeah.
So we love to start with a definition.
Yeah.
Do you want to present that, Jamie?
Sure. I mean, mindfulness has kind of been a buzzword the last few years, at least in the therapy world. I think in the coaching world, too.
For sure.
I listened.
And it popped up in one of our previous podcasts. We're like, we should do a topic on mindfulness because we kept using the word over and over.
Yeah. And I talk about it a lot with my clients as a tool when we're dealing with anxiety, even with depression, whatever it is.
Yes.
And there are now places to go where you practice mindfulness. In fact, this is funny. I was just listening to this story from Hoda Kotb. Like, she's on the Today Show. Uh-huh. And I guess she was gone for like 10 days, but no one really knew why or like if she was sick. And she had been at a place where you kind of practice mindfulness and you're totally detached. Like you have
retreat.
To turn in. Yeah.
Okay.
You turn in your cell phone and everything. And she was just like, I felt so free, you know, like I just could be.
Yeah.
And she was just talking about how she's really modified her cell phone usage and everything since coming back. I mean, it was just like this little snippet I was reading about her experience.
Yeah.
But to me, what it sounds like she did at this retreat was learn more about being mindful. And so to define it, mindfulness is really just that state of active, open attention to the present.
Yes.
And to take that a little further, this state is described as observing one's thoughts and feelings without judging them as good or bad.
Letting them just be.
Yeah. Yeah, because we always want to classify everything as negative or positive, good or bad, or, you know, right or wrong. And it's just like...
Doing.
Yes. And it's just like, oh, what am I feeling? And just let that be.
Yes.
Let it, like, marinate in it for a minute and just experience it.
Yeah, exactly. In coaching, that's exactly what I'll talk about with clients, right?
Yeah.
If you're curious, what do you do in coaching? How would that be beneficial? Well, you start there.
Yeah.
Basically, where are you? Who are you? What are you feeling?
Yeah.
And we start from that foundation. And then you can rebuild, like in your example with Hoda, right?
Yeah.
So you go somewhere, a retreat, you kind of have a chance to reset.
Yeah.
And then you can design back in what you choose instead of what you feel you have to.
Well, I think even for some people, the pandemic, as hard as it's been, I think the pandemic did that for a lot of people.
Absolutely.
It helped them kind of settle down and reset. and reconnect with their families or whatever. And I mean, that wasn't true for everyone, but for some people, there was this benefit of the pandemic and kind of being sequestered inside.
Yeah, because how many of us had that feeling like, oh, we're going back to kind of everything normal. That's good. And it was kind of maybe a little nice to tune out a little.
Yeah, and to not have all those expectations on right. you. And so, but a friend of mine, I remember we were sitting at the beach and she's like, the beauty of the pandemic is we get to decide what we're putting back in
yes.
to our schedules. And that's actually part of mindfulness. It's just like very intentional. Like, what do I want to bring back in? Although Southern California, we're kind of heading back into thanks, Omicron. Yeah. Just kidding. Like now it's like the mask mandate's back and all these things, but it's fine because part of it too is I think when we're aware of what we're feeling and we give ourselves permission to feel it and we're not judging those feelings, I think we're a lot better at not judging others.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I mean, the whole thing of mindfulness is that you are mindful of your thoughts and feelings
yeah.
and your judgments.
Yeah.
And so if you're in a place where you can let those judgments go, whether it's over yourself or someone else
yeah.
or circumstance, it allows you to be more curious. And right. I think that's a huge element of mindfulness is yeah. a state of curiosity that allows you to really explore the present. Like yeah. you said, when you kind of look at where you're at and say, what is really here? My autopilot is like, I'm rushing by everything. I don't even notice it, right? Yeah. If you're on the freeway and you're only looking at the horizon, you miss the cows and the pastures and the mm-hmm. houses and billboards and all that stuff because you're so focused.
Well, how many times have you like gotten home and you're like, I don't even remember driving
how I got here.
Like, I was like, was I like paying attention? You know, it's just like so autopilot sometimes. Yeah.
The way pulling the driveway, you're like, whoa.
Yeah. And even though mindfulness is kind of this buzz term in the psychobabble world, I guess, it's actually an ancient concept because it comes from Buddhist and Hindu teachings.
Yes.
Right? And so in Buddhism, it includes a journey towards enlightenment. And it's funny because I don't know if I'm going to say this right, but it's the concept of sati, which encompasses attention, awareness, and being present. And that's considered the first step towards enlightenment. You know, it's like the emergence yeah. of mindfulness. And so I think it's an ancient concept.
Yeah. And it's something that humans have struggled with for eternities, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so bringing it forward, how does that apply to our modern life? It has huge repercussions.
Yeah.
In positive ways.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think in some ways we're doing this subliminally, right? Like sometimes we'll go on a vacation and we intentionally plan a vacation where we're actually not doing anything. Like I just want to go somewhere. Like I do this when I go to Mexico because I don't have cell service. I just want to read a book. I just want to sit with my thoughts. I just want to relax and not be needed by anyone and just recharge.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to a museum. I don't want to go. I just want to be. And for me, that's really energizing. And sometimes the trip where we're like going, doing, seeing, hiking is energizing as well.
Yeah, but in a different way.
Yes. But sometimes you need that time for mindfulness and just kind of reflecting and letting yourself be really present with what you're experiencing.
Yeah, it's the art of embracing exactly who you are and where you are.
Yeah.
Versus projecting or applying a lens of expectation that isn't authentic.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because there was a study done like in the 70s, and this is when mindfulness kind of, I think, started being more talked about in Western culture. Mm-hmm. And they were using mindfulness as a tool with helping people with chronic pain. And I'm going to probably butcher this information, but I'll have to look it up, the study, and maybe Monica can help us. But as they were studying people with chronic pain, they would always try to avoid the pain. Like, okay. So you're always trying to get ahead of the pain or you're doing things to avoid the pain. So they would use mindfulness to help people like experience it, because when you try to avoid the pain, it would actually lead to deeper distress. But mindfulness was a more successful approach because it helped them look at what they were feeling and experiencing, let it come and happen, mm-hmm. and let it pass.
Right.
You know, and so part of it was just kind of teaching. I feel like it's that mind over matter you know, mindfulness has a lot of that mind over matter aspect to
There's that element for sure.
Yeah. Cause you'll see it in sports psychology. They'll use mindfulness, you know, and things like that.
Yeah. I was watching a TikTok the other day on this actually. It was ice bath therapy. Mm. And they were showing how when you go into an ice bath, the natural inclination, your body is to tense up, you shiver, you chatter, you know. And if you can breathe through it, you get to this kind of zen place where your body isn't like on autopilot reacting to the cold. Your mind is controlling your body.
Yeah.
And you can watch these people go in like, oh my gosh, this is so cold. And then they're like.
Yeah. I can't imagine, right?
But I've had experience with that. I mean, I remember when, you know, those times you get really, really cold.
Yeah.
And you're just uncontrollably shivering. Mm-hmm. And then you say,
yeah,
I'm okay. I'm okay. Yeah. It's not that you got warm, but something clicks and your body's like, just relax, just relax.
Yeah.
I'm still cold, but it's not that uncontrollable.
Yeah.
I think you can do that sometimes when people get emotionally flooded when they're crying, right? Mm-hmm. Get the hyperventilation going. And if you can breathe through that, you're still sad. You still may be crying.
Yeah.
But it isn't such a uncontrollable response.
Well, mindfulness is a technique I really teach clients of mine who struggle with panic attacks.
Yeah.
So because
it's a great example.
Because a panic attack, a lot of times they'll actually go, they'll feel like they have to go to the emergency room because they feel like they're having a heart attack or that they're going to die. And then when it gets diagnosed as a panic attack, sometimes they feel embarrassed or, and we kind of process through that. And mindfulness is like, don't be embarrassed. Like if you're genuinely afraid for your health, that it's natural that you would call 911 or go to the hospital.
Right. Especially if it's first time, you don't know what it is.
But now you know what it is and how to recognize like, oh, I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
Even this panic attack is not going to kill me. Even though this is very uncomfortable. And with mindfulness, it's allowing yourself to feel the discomfort.
Exactly. It's not making it go away.
Right.
It's leaning into it to say, what am I feeling? That's okay to feel that.
Right.
And what else is here? And through that process, mentally and physically, you relax.
Yeah. And it allows you to tolerate it. I mean, I think we could talk to women throughout the ages who've done this in childbirth. And it's all about mindfulness, right? Because those pains come, like when your water breaks, the pain shifts. And no one explained that to me. I was like, oh, this is different. This is a different kind of pain than I like. And even my husband was like, well, what does it feel like? I'm like, I can't describe it. Like it's like a rolling, I don't know. It's like this weird phenomenon happening with your body as it prepares to deliver a baby. And you have to get mindful to get through that experience because you have to get control of your body because you start shivering and shaking and my teeth were chattering and I was, you know, because it's a lot of pain. And I felt the same way nursing a baby. And my husband was like, what kind of pain? And I'm like, it is toe curling. You know, and for the first couple of weeks. And so I remember I'd have to get really mindful. Like I could tell like I have to feed the baby and I'd like sit in this chair and I would start breathing.
Yeah.
And I would put on like calming music without words. Like I would actually have to create this environment because the first couple of weeks were so rough that I had to use mindfulness techniques.
Yeah, that's totally mindfulness techniques, right? Yeah. You were setting an environment, being aware of your thoughts and feelings, recognizing that you've had previous experiences and acknowledging those to go forward with a different outcome.
And I knew that discomfort wasn't going to kill me. I was like, the world is full of billions of women who have done this. Right. I might be the only one who I'm going to die from this. And I didn't, but you know, you start feeling that way. And so mindfulness can give you a lot of power to accept what you're experiencing in the present moment and get through it.
Yeah. It keeps a perspective there that it empowers you to move forward.
Yeah. And I think there's two elements that matter the most in mindfulness. It's awareness and acceptance.
Yes.
And with those two elements, it's like, even when I was doing the Ironman, there were times when I was like, I really want to stop running right now. But I was aware that I was feeling that. I accepted that I was feeling that and that I would probably feel that again while I was running. and that it was okay.
Yeah.
And I looked around and I was like, and I'm probably not the only one feeling that as well, you know, and just able to work through that thought process with my body as well.
Right. And that awareness also detaches you from the emotion, right?
Yeah.
I can feel pain. I can feel anger. I can feel sadness. And I am not sad. I am not angry. I am not a painful person, right?
Right.
So that detachment gives you that perspective that kind of says, this is doable.
It takes you to the acceptance of like, well, I'm sad right now.
Right. Temporary. Right.
But I'm not a sad person.
Exactly.
I'm my body hurts right now, but it didn't hurt yesterday. And maybe tomorrow won't hurt. It won't hurt or whatever it is. Right. But we get into that place of acceptance where we get out of cognitive distortions about what's really happening. And we can just kind of accept with it's right now.
Yeah. It allows you to be with it mm-hmm. and not be in it.
Yeah.
And so it does feel like I am participating in this and it's not me in an unchangeable, unfixable state.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So that temporary feeling, it's like you're moving through a room instead of being stuck in the room.
Yeah. And this technique, I mean, you deal with it to deal with stress, pain, anxiety, to reduce those things, right?
Yeah.
So it's funny that you're using a tool to allow you to kind of connect to the present feeling that's uncomfortable, but it ultimately reduces that uncomfortable feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's like a muscle. You grow through it and then it's not as hard to do the next time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think the catch sometimes too is, you know, we can medicate or we can brace or we can avoid to lessen those impacts. And sometimes that doesn't really give us the full experience.
Yeah.
And so that does rob us a little of that mindfulness.
Yeah.
So that's something I think when you go back to the ancient practice of this, it's not, hey, you know, take your medication and avoid any stressful situation. And that's not life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And that's why I think with mindfulness, some people are like, they just associate it with meditation. And meditation is one way of practicing mindfulness.
Correct.
But you can have small little moments throughout the day.
Yes.
And I've said this before on a previous episode, like the little breathing thing on the Apple Watch. There's like a 1 minute breathing exercise.
It reminds you to breathe.
Yeah. But it takes you through kind of the concept of smell the flowers, blow out the candles.
Yes.
And it will have you take a deep breath in and then it will tell you to exhale. It's just 1 minute. And so many times I find myself dismissing it, but there are times when I don't and I take that minute and I just practice this minute of breathing. That is mindfulness as well.
Yeah.
It's slowing things down. What am I experiencing right now? I'm just going to breathe and connect to myself.
Yeah.
And so you can have a meditation session. And you can do a meditation exercise, or it can be these little moments too.
Yeah. We had my daughter in the car the other day. One of the other kids was kind of melting down and having some issues. Mm-hmm. And I could hear Quinn in the back. Breathe in. One, two,
awesome.
Three, four. Hold. One, two, three, four.
Like Brene breathe would be
out.
So proud.
Yeah. She was total box breathing. And I just looked to Erin. I was like, something's gone through.
Yeah.
Something's gone through to her. Yeah. Yeah. But it was good. She was totally demonstrating and instructing the other child on how to breathe through it and come back to center. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm sure another parent might be like, what are they teaching those kids? But I think it's a healthy thing to learn early, right? This is a 13-year-old that was teaching her 10-year-old brother to box breathe in the car. And I think those little moments we can do all the time.
Yeah.
Like you said, you don't need to always do it.
No.
I don't spend my day breathing.
Yeah.
Well, we do.
Mindfully breathing.
Mindfully breathing.
It is part of your involuntary functions, but.
Yes. But so that's a good point, actually, because we do a lot of things involuntary.
Yeah.
And that's that autopilot.
Yeah.
We wake up. I got, like yesterday, my day. You're like, okay, I'm going to start here. I'm going to do this. I got to go here. I'm going to be there. Mm-hmm. And by the time we recorded last night, a night episode.
Yeah.
And by the time I got there, I was like, I don't even remember where I started today.
Yeah.
There was so many geographically I'd been like all over the county.
Yeah.
And then you get back and you're exhausted.
Yeah.
And if you can bring yourself back to these were all choices that I wanted to do and remember that part and remember this part, that mindfulness then turns it from, oh my gosh, I'm worn out and so tired to I had a great day.
Yeah.
I accomplished these things and now I'm here with my podcast team to have a good evening, record an episode.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's why even journaling can be a mindful experience.
Yes.
Because it forces you to kind of get present with what you're feeling and experiencing and recording it.
Yeah.
In essence. And so journaling can be.
So
it can be. It can not be as well, but it can be a mindful exercise.
Yeah. It's that little tool that you just remember, I'm me.
Yeah.
In this big world that's rolling around, mm-hmm. I'm me. And I have uniqueness. I have preferences.
Yeah.
And I have hardships. And it's an experience.
And I think when you're in it, you have to, it's really important that you avoid judging or pushing away the uncomfortable thoughts. Because part of being human is we're going to have uncomfortable feelings. We're going to have uncomfortable thoughts. And acknowledging them helps you understand them better and helps you understand yourself better so you can move forward.
Yeah.
So it goes back to that chronic pain exercise, right? Or, you know, study when they were like, oh, when we are trying to avoid it, we actually are creating more distress. And so by getting mindful, like, why am I having these negative feelings, or what am I feeling, and acknowledging it actually allows us to move through it.
Right, right. Not stuff it down and avoid it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, my good, bad, or indifferent, one of my tactics to encourage me to do that, I'll verbalize it. Aaron gets a lot of the brunt of this, but uh-huh. it's not in a mean way, but I'll be like, I'm feeling this right now. Is that weird?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh yeah, that's weird. You know, but it's a part of my personality that she's like, he'll just say what he's feeling.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's super random.
Yeah.
But it does allow me to be like, kind of just that whole experience of life is out there.
Yeah.
It's not, I'm not stuffing it down and oppressing it and being like, I can't talk about that.
Yeah.
Because, you know me, you must talk about anything. It's fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm a talk as I'm feeling it kind of person. I think most therapists probably have to be like, you got to practice what you preach at most. But my husband has a harder time. Like, I have to say, I really need you to tell me what you're thinking or what you're feeling about this, you know,
because
he'll go inward.
It's funny. I use that exact same terminology with my kids. Like, my daughter's like, what are you, there's something going on.
Yeah.
What are you feeling?
Yeah. And sometimes it's hard for them to identify it. That's why meditation or mindfulness works, because it helps you take the time to figure it out.
Yes.
What am I feeling?
Right. Because if you're not a instant, you know, mm-hmm. blurter, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. then take some time, figure it out, and then come back. Hey, I thought about it, and here's what I was feeling.
Yeah.
And then it's super freeing for anyone who hasn't tried that.
Yeah.
There is this. It's funny. Full circle here. What you said about Hoda, right? It's freeing because you come back like, I am accepted for who I am, for my thoughts, and I'm here.
And I'm in charge of how many distractions I put into my day for the most part. I for sure am in charge of how much I'm on my phone. I'm in charge of, you know, and I think,
as much as we like to say we aren't.
Yeah.
We are.
I think the benefit of being a therapist too is like, I'm with people all day. So my phone is like, I always tell people, like, if my phone is never on ring, like I've never heard it ring because it's always off. Because if I'm with a client,
whose phone's that? Jamie, it's yours.
I'm like, is it on? Like, you know, people have these fun ringtones. I'm like, yeah, I don't ever have mine on because if I'm in session, I just don't want to forget to turn it off or whatever. Right. It would be so funny if it went off right now. Like, but it's always, you know, it's always off. And so what I find interesting is when I am on my phone, sometimes I'm decompressing that way rather than using mindfulness and meditation. Like, oh, I've been with people all day long. I've been talking about emotions and feelings. And sometimes that's when I'll take that minute breath exercise on my watch.
Oh, yeah.
And be like, okay, just breathe. And then you can, you know, just decompress. But I want to make sure I'm being mindful about why I'm doing it and how long. But I'm setting my intention.
Right. You're doing intentional. I mean, I won't pull any punches. I will intentionally be like, I'm going to go and sit down for a half hour and just scroll through Facebook, right? Mm-hmm. And enjoy the freedom to do that.
Yeah.
Knowing it's junk food.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Just like I may eat some Fritos while doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two evils. But it's intentional and I'm getting enjoyment from it. And it is a decompress. It's like I'm meaning to be mindless right now.
Yeah.
And then I kind of put some bookends on that and then get back into what I was doing.
Yeah. So then what are the benefits? I think the first one is it reduces anxiety, right? I think when we're mindful, it reduces stress, anxiety, depression, and pain. I mean, physical pain.
Yes.
I think all those things, you know, is part of the benefits of practicing mindfulness on a regular basis.
And yes, and it broadens your perspective, right?
Yeah, yeah. And there's a thing with mindfulness that people will say, oh, mindfulness is a, you know, it's hokey or it's whatever. And I always joke with people who say that, I'm like, well, how often have you tried it? Well, I tried it one time and, you know. And mindfulness is about consistency.
Yeah.
And it's like anything else. Mindfulness is referred to as a practice, the practice of mindfulness.
It's a maintenance plan. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you have to be building into your day. And sometimes for me, that's spiritual. It might be through prayer. It might be through a hike. It might be, but it's mindful for me. And so I think it's really interesting when people are like, ah, mindful, you know, that's just a term or that's something that we throw around. But it's usually people that have tried it a couple times. And they're like, oh, it hasn't helped me. Or yeah. I still was anxious. And you're like, but did you try it every day for a year?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because to me, when someone asked me that question, you know, what are the benefits of it?
Yeah.
Until you've tried it, it's really hard to, I guess, overlay it onto your life and say, oh, here's how it's going to change.
Yeah.
But think of a really good day when you just felt you were checking off all the boxes, getting everything done, and really enjoying life, every experience, mm-hmm. whether it was your breakfast or an interaction with a friend or working on a work project, and it was really satisfying. And then imagine if that was every day, right?
Yeah.
It's like exponential joy. And so I think that satisfaction level, like it's an added satisfaction to what you're already doing, that it's an enhancement to life. So I take it – there's a great example. You know, Aaron's father passed this summer, and he was had some dementia that was getting worse. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in that state, the mind kind of is not shutting down, but it really becomes focused on the task at hand.
Right, because it can't focus on tomorrow or yesterday.
Right, or it doesn't remember it. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, locking the door – mm-hmm. 10 minutes later, you need to lock the door again, mm-hmm. right? And then 10 minutes later, what about that door? Let's go lock mm-hmm. that door. Mm-hmm. And that sounds like it's a negative, but we would do puzzles with him. Mm-hmm. And the joy he would get out of doing that puzzle, you would have thought it was the best thing in the world. Like, this puzzle is so pretty, and look how those pieces go together.
Yeah,
he was just experiencing
it.
That moment.
Yeah. It's funny because I think that's true because I think about my grandpa when he was going through kind of that phase of dementia, and he ended up in a nursing facility that last year, and he was in Nebraska. And so my sister and I would fly out every, you know, maybe once or twice a year to go visit him. And every time we went, we would either like bring him a Coke from the gas station, like with ice and everything.
And I bet it was the best Coke ever.
Oh, it was my favorite thing taking it to him because he would like take a sip and he would just be like, oh, this is the best thing ever. And we took him one time. He had worked at a place called Bronco Burgers in Omaha, Nebraska.
Okay.
And
that sounds delicious just by the name.
Yeah. Actually, we went and we were like, my dad said when they were in high school, it was like the place. Right? But I mean, that was in the 50s, 60s. And so, but we went there and he's like, can I get two? You know, and we're like, yeah. And so he got two hamburgers and a milkshake. And it was almost like watching a child on Christmas morning, you know, like just so in the moment.
Yeah.
And pure joy.
You suspend all of the negativity in life. You suspend all of the baggage we carry around.
Yeah.
And you're just in the moment, the magic of it. And I can picture that, right?
Yeah.
Eating the two burgers and a milkshake, and you can almost smell it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so if every moment in your life is like that,
it would be amazing, right?
And that would be a mindful life, right?
But I think, too, it's not to discount that the part of mindfulness is helping us understand and cope with those uncomfortable emotions as well.
Yes.
And so, like, we're like having a baby or, you know, having a newborn, even just the tiredness that comes with that and being mindful through it. Like, okay.
But if you're really mindful, like in tiredness, right? Uh-huh. If you're really mindful of that, you will take action then to rest.
Right. And you also can acknowledge the thoughts of they grow up.
Yes.
I'm not going to be up at, you know, all night for the rest of my life. This is a stage, and I can put some context around it, which yes. actually will allow me to accept the feeling.
Right. Because we're experiencing it. Yes. We're not it.
Right.
And so we can experience things as we move through, right? How does something feel? How does something smell? It's the whole experiential part of life that we lose when we're just so busy.
Yeah.
And hustling and trying to get to the destination.
Yeah. Right? It's mind-numbing, the hustle sometimes.
Yeah. And so that example of the puzzle or the burger mm-hmm, or the Coke, mm-hmm, I can totally mm-hmm. picture that, right?
I do that every day. I get in my car. I take the first sip. It's glorious.
The first sip, right? I tell her the same thing. I was like, the first sip of Mountain Dew? I don't know. So it goes through you. You're there's just like.
You know, the previews at the movies when it's like the roller coaster and they're like, get the ice right. and the Coke. I'm like, yeah, this is working for me. But I think it is about just enjoying, you know, yeah. and sometimes people will comment like, oh, you seem like you're always happy. No, I have uncomfortable feelings yeah. and I have feelings that are difficult to deal with. But I also feel like because I'll accept that part of myself, I also allow myself all the joy and happiness too.
Yeah. And that's the other part of that, you know, what are the benefits of mindfulness that comes forward? We see these people in life
yeah.
that move through life and they just seem to be on a different plane.
Yeah.
They are engaging. They seem to they're dynamic
yeah.
and they attract people.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's that mindfulness, right?
Yeah.
It's the thought and acting on the thought that, you know, reaches out to someone. It's the touch. It's mm-hmm. the
awareness.
It's
and
the
acceptance.
Little things.
Yeah.
Right.
I think.
And then they end up with a presence.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that presence is desirable.
Yeah. And I think because when you practice awareness, that's self-awareness, right? You're getting yep. curious about your own thoughts and feelings. And I think that makes you curious about others.
Absolutely.
You know? And so you can meet them where they are.
Yeah.
Instead of like, oh, they're having a bad day. Avoid them. you're okay leaning into it.
Yeah.
Being like, oh, hey, the, you know.
Fear, I mean, we really could say fear kind of doesn't have as strong a hold on us.
Yeah.
Right? The yeah. fear goes away. If you're yeah. mindful, you're curious. You're not fearful.
Yeah. And you can get into that place of acceptance. And
right.
there's hard things. You're going to have hard emotions, but they're not bad.
Yeah,
they're just uncomfortable.
So what are some quick, just to review, some takeaways for our listeners? If they're like, oh, well, I want to try a little mindfulness. Start with, I mean, you could explore some meditation.
Uh-huh.
That's always a resetting, kind of a centering activity.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be everything from, you know, the room with the pillows and the candle
right.
to just some breathing.
Breathing, yeah.
Right.
It could be a yoga class.
Yep.
It could be spiritual for people. I mean, it could be worship for people. It could be where they meditate or get mindful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's just lots of different ways you can kind
one thing
of
I think you've heard about this. It's the finger rubbing
oh,
thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you're in the middle, and this can be really subtle. Like
yeah.
I'm getting overwhelmed in traffic, right? I put my finger and my thumb together, and you just rub until you become aware of the fingerprint
mm-hmm.
and you just think of the fingerprint feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard to continue being like, oh, I'm so angry at that driver yeah. while trying to feel your fingerprints.
Yeah. Cause it's forcing you to slow down and focus on something,
on something else.
Now.
It's a little
yeah.
distraction, uh-huh. but it is a little reset tool. And then you're
yeah.
like, and then once you feel it, you can let it go. And you're like, okay, what was I thinking about?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You might go right back to traffic and then, oh, fingers again.
You're disrupting that pattern that kind of starts to run away with us a little bit.
Right. Another one that I've done and my coach even has talked to me about is smells, sometimes mm-hmm. aromatherapies mm-hmm. or a mm-hmm. candle or something that you can put
mm-hmm.
that, I mean, think of how when you walk in, we were making Kinder Punch the other day
mm-hmm.
and that smell takes us right back to the Christmas markets in Berlin.
Oh yeah.
Right. But that's mindfulness.
Yeah.
Right. You come in, you're like, oh,
yeah.
remember that trip?
Yeah.
Like, instantly. And so those around, whether it's in your workplace, your house, your car, if there's a smell that makes you calm or relax or be aware and present,
yeah.
you know, keep a little of that around. And then I think connection
yeah.
is another one. You know, if you're trying to be mindful, communicate that with others because we help each other.
Yeah.
We can say, hey, you know what? Instead of gobbling down our lunch and running to the next thing, let's really enjoy this. What do you love about your
yeah.
burger? Oh my gosh, you should This is the best bun I've ever had on this hamburger. Try this.
Yeah.
It really is celebrating those little things that make up life.
Yeah. And that's that awareness. Yeah. What am I eating? What am I enjoying? what am I, you know?
What did I just eat?
Yeah. But how many times have we done that? You'll be at the end of the day like, what did I eat for lunch? And they're like, I don't know.
Times than I want to admit. Yeah. That's the bottom of the bag? Oh, I guess I ate all of them. Oh.
You weren't very mindful.
You didn't want some of these, right?
Not mindful. Yeah. So it does. It can make a big difference. So I just go back to being aware and accepting of what you're feeling and experiencing.
Yeah. So listeners, we'd love to hear what you guys do for mindfulness and how that works for you in your life.
Yeah.
You know, post some in the comments or send us a DM. And if it's something new to you, try it. Try it at the end of the year here. Yeah. I mean, we're going into, for me at least, it's like, what have I done? What am I going to do season?
Yes.
And, you know, New Year's resolutions and fresh start and all of that.
Yeah.
So it might be a good time to be like mindful in the holiday season as you're celebrating. To really cherish that, and then what choices are you going to make going forward?
Yeah. Well, good. All good stuff.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Jamie, for your perspectives, and thank you for tuning in. If you love the show, be sure you subscribed so that you get the automatic downloads of each episode. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Tell your friends and family, and thank you for all of your support.
Yeah, it's been a good year.
It has. Okay, take care, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for listening this week. Stay connected by following us on Instagram or Facebook at The Davenport Podcast. For more information on coaching services with Guy, visit his website, thecoachguy.net. For additional information regarding counseling services, the Daring Way curriculum, or relationship counseling, please go to jamiepyattlcsw.com.
The Davenport Podcast is a production of the Davenport Education Group. Show hosts are Guy Below and Jamie Pyatt. Our producer and editor is Aaron Below. Our outreach manager and production coordinator is Monica String. Thanks for listening.
The Davenport Podcast is provided for informational and entertainment purposes only. Although Jamie is a licensed clinical social worker and Guy is a professional life coach, the information and opinions shared by the hosts and their guests are not intended to be a substitute for professional, medical, or mental health advice, diagnosis, or treatment. The information on this show does not create a client-therapist or coaching relationship and should not be taken as professional advice or guidance. Please consult with your physician or a qualified healthcare provider regarding any medical or mental health conditions.